A very warm welcome to the best podcast in the world. A very warm welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. This is your host, Nick Tibuzek, and with me is my co-host, Rado, the boss, Bossage.
Hi, everyone.
How do you like the new nickname?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
All right. Hope everybody's doing well. We have a wonderful morning right here in Vienna. How's the weather down there in Munich?
It's the same here. It's pretty sunny. So, yeah.
Perfect. So, for all the listeners, as you see, we are doing this one online. All right. As you hopefully heard in the last episode, we talked a little bit about classic periodization, programming, and all that stuff. And this episode today will be just an add-on onto the other one. Today we're going to talk about how to tackle what phase that you're going to have in your periodization. How does that look like? Maybe a little bit into how does a session in the phase look like? And I think we can just kick it off. All right. We would like to start off with a general thing right here. So how does a general phase look like for maybe a beginner up to an advanced lifter? What would you say, Arado?
Yeah, so with the general phases, the main thing is that we have all three components within one phase. So the thing that we talked about in the previous podcast, that separation into strength, technique, and hypertrophy. With the general block, we have all of those three things in one, and we try to develop all of them at the same time.
That's the thing. So from our point of view, someone in that level, maybe, I don't like to say that way, but in that case, usually you don't need such a big specialization into one topic. As for most people, it's very important to build a very good base. That's something we already talked about when it came down to the pyramid thing. So the bigger the base, the better you can go and specialize on something special.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you simply need time to see where are your weaknesses and what you need to tackle more. And over the course of that one block, or maybe two blocks, you can see things kind of crystallize themselves out. And then you can bring decisions and, yeah, plan the upcoming block.
That's absolutely the case. That's the thing. All right. So from there on, we have, how does a session for a person like that look like?
Yeah, we have the basic separation into main work, assistance, and accessory work. And within that separation, you can kind of put different focus on different parts. So, for example, we can start the session out with some skills, and that would be primarily technique work. After that, the main work would be more strength specific, and the assistance and accessory work would be more geared towards hypertrophy.
All right. So, from how does a day look like that? Maybe it's a classic pushing day. It could be someone works on the technique part on the handstand. That would be a very classic one. Then you go into the main lifts. A classic full body pushing day would be maybe having dips and back squat as the classic main lifts. Maybe then some assistance work, which could be some stuff that carry over into that. Yeah. From my point of view, maybe some pike pushups and the classic single leg work. So that's maybe a lunge variation. So you see, this is a classic, you know, because the listener might not see that, but Rado is sitting there. The smile is coming to his face because he knows.
Oh, yeah. Those are good sessions, yeah.
Then maybe comes in some accessory work that you might need. It could be anything. So it could be maybe some triceps work, maybe some classic quad work or maybe some more glutes and stuff like that. It depends on what you need in that case. So that's a very classic session where you have like maybe from 6 to 8 exercises and the set that you have that really depend on what's how much time do you have, how much can you actually how much do you need? That's in the end the thing, huh? From there on, that's a classic day for a general block for a beginner and also for some advanced lifters. I train like that very, very often. Mm-hmm. My blocks really look like that very, very often. Yeah. But as I would say, I'm a little bit more experienced now. And the thing right here is for some people, it might be that I'm very experienced, but from my point of view, I'm not. Because I see it from a different view. In my bubble, I'm a beginner. So that's something why I don't program very special stuff for myself or for most of our athletes. Most of them are, in my eyes, not very experienced or something. They don't need the special stuff and all that, because the level that we have right now is usually easily to get after 2 or 3 or 4 years of training. And I'm talking about doing deadlifts up to 250 kg, doing some handstand push-ups, having like 100 kg dip and a little bit upwards, yeah. Pulling 60 to 80 kg in a pull-up or chin-up, however you want to call it, in that stuff, yeah, doing some handstand push-ups and all that stuff, you know. That's the point where I'm talking about general beginner and maybe a little bit more experienced stuff. So it could also be that you might be good at one thing very, very much and very experienced, and then maybe your squat is shit. Like, actually most of the calisthenics people think like 150 kg squat is crazy, and it's not. It's actually not. So they dip like 120 and squat like 150, and in that case you're still a kind of a beginner in the squat, and that's something we definitely need to keep in mind when we program stuff like that, because that makes things sometimes very complicated, because someone is in the upper body very experienced but in the lower body on such a low level that you actually get into trouble with that stuff, because maybe they would need technical phases and strength phases and special phases for the upper, but they're still beginner on the lower body.
Yeah,
sometimes that's a little bit confusing for some people, especially when it comes down to how do I parasite that, because on the one end you really have to look into specialization and all that stuff, on the other hand it's like fucking hell, that's a beginner level.
Yeah, basic stuff.
That's crazy.
Mm.
All right. From the point where we are right now, we had that general and beginner and a little bit more advanced lifter. We're going into the specialization parts, which we already had in the last episode, which are strength, technique, and hypertrophy. And I would like to let's kick it off with some strength work. How does a classic strength block look like?
Yeah, with strength work, you kind of want to specialize. You want to really train the main lifts as specifically as possible to the competition. And because in our case, we are doing 1 rep maxes, we want to train at higher intensities and lower rep ranges to really practice those lifts in those situations.
That's the very important thing here. What we had right here before was we had maybe a technical part before the main lifts.
Mm-hmm.
When you come into strength phases where you're really going to specialize on certain lifts, because that's needed for strength, because you just really specialize on one lift or some in our case, four lifts. You usually cut down the stuff that is not needed for this specialization, for this focus you have right now. And that's okay-ish. Yep. It's not like you're going to lose everything because of doing that. It's just you have a little bit of more focus of that. Yeah? So at that point, you usually do less technique work and go more into really building up strength for, I don't know, it could be the squat, it could be pull-ups and all that stuff. And then you still have some assistance work, of course, which should be very, again, specialization, should be a specialization into the lift that you're doing. So sometimes you can, as of course, do some assistance work, like doing some bench press for dips. In that case, I would actually in during a strength phase, I would maybe doing some banded dip work, which maybe give a little bit more more focus on the last part of the dipping, because you really wanna focus on the long head of the triceps or something like that. Yeah, so that's the more focused and specialized stuff that you do in the assistance work there. And you usually do less of accessory work as well. So that's some stuff people need to keep in mind. And if you can see it from that point, usually maybe a training session takes like 2.5 hours, something like that, the classic one. When you have the specialization on strength in a phase, you can try to keep your training in the same amount of time, because you will do a less volume, but you will need longer breaks in between the sets. So I don't know, how long do your squat sessions take?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's not only the squat sessions together with the squat, it's the dip. So like only for the main work, you need like 1.5 hours, maybe even more sometimes, especially if there's heavier session. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the time component is definitely important here. And it's always a smart idea to take away some of the volume to be able to focus more on the intensity at the start of the session. Yeah.
That's very important, because otherwise you are in the gym for 4 and 5 hours.
Yeah.
What is completely okay, but you will reach the point in your life when you just don't have the time to do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would love to have it, but I just can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a very important thing. Cut down the volume on the one end and higher up the intensity on the other end to really balance things right there. Mm-hmm. So in the strength block, it's a little bit more into main and assistance work. It could always be that you still have a little bit of technique work and still have some accessory work in there, but the focus is a little bit more on main and assistance, and mostly on main exercises. So the general has a very balanced work right there. The strength is a little bit more into main and assistance work. And what is also very important right here is to choose the assistance right for the strength exercises. So the thing here is, you need to understand that on certain points, some exercises might not be the best ones. So if you are doing some assistance work where you do heavy dip work, really heavy dip work, the structure that will definitely be influenced the most at that point will be your shoulder girdle and mm-hmm. all the rotator cuff stuff. So when you choose your assistance exercises there, it could be, it doesn't have to be, but it could be that stuff like ring work, like ring dips and stuff like that, could be not the best assistance exercise, because they are giving a big impact on the shoulder girdle and the rotator cuff stuff, because you have to stabilize all the time. And that's some stuff you always have to keep in mind when you do when you choose the assistance work right there. And that's a very important one, as you really want to push the main exercises. Mm-hmm. And but sometimes I also had athletes who needed ring work to stay very solid. So that sometimes you really have to check that out for yourself. And as a coach, you have to check that on your lifter, on your athlete, and check out, okay, what works better for them. So that's a very important one to understand there. It's not like, this is the thing.
Yeah.
This is the rule. It's always has, it's just a tendency that you have right there.
Absolutely.
All right. I think we covered up the strength a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now we can come up to the technique parts. And you mentioned something before in our talk, before we started the podcast, that was a very, very important one. You read an article where someone said, yeah, technique work, that's great, but let's talk about it.
But yeah, the thing is, most people think that technique work automatically means practicing the lift in like 40 to 60% of the one rep max. So in other words, really, really light intensities, when in most cases, this simply isn't true, because that which you learn at those low intensities possibly won't carry over to higher intensities where you are specifically, much more specific to the competition lift. So technique work still means that you train hard. But the focus doesn't lie, like we said, on strength or hypertrophy. It's primarily to tackle certain parts of the lifts, for example, and to simply develop there.
Absolutely. Mm. So this, in a practical way, to see how what we are talking about now is, when you are doing, as an example, your dips, and you're doing a technical phase, doesn't mean when you have like a, I don't know, 90 kgs dip, it doesn't mean you have to train now with 30 kg dips on like, I don't know, five reps, something, which would be pretty easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the case that you actually have to work at, I don't know, 55 to 60 kg, still doing five reps, but on a really, really a big focus, not opening up the chest too early and all that stuff. So this is very important to understand. In a technical phase, you really, really, really focus on not having a technical breakdown. So there is not the case that the small little muscles, which you need to stabilize you in certain points, they're not allowed to give up. So you need to choose the weight right, so they can catch up to the other ones, which probably are a little bit stronger. So you really focus on that. Something for me, as an example, I'm someone who squats very posterior chain, like, you know, my ass always comes up.
Yeah.
This is because my quads are seen if you compare my quads to I don't know, the rest of my posterior chain, they're a little bit weaker. This is why my ass comes up first, and then I get up. I can't always get up. That's not the problem, but I need to focus in a technical way a little bit more on having my quads firing myself up and using my adductors a little bit more when I come out of the hold. And that's some stuff that is very, very much needed in a technical block, as I'm having that right now, really focusing on that stuff. So I could use a little bit more weight, but it would not be in the most best way that I could actually use that stuff.
Yeah, that's it. So would you say for a technical block, low repetitions and middle to higher intensities are the way to go?
Mostly. Mm-hmm. Mostly. It depends sometimes a little bit. Sometimes you have some lifters who can actually work very well with a little higher rep ranges. I'm someone like that. I actually perform in between, I don't know, 5 and 8 reps. I have actually my best performance. It's crazy, but it is like that. Mm-hmm. And more on the higher end mostly. So my first, as an example, my first squat looks very slow, but it still looks as slow as my 12th squat. So everybody thinks, oh, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
12. And it looks exactly the same from out there. Yeah. And that, so it depends a little bit on how the lifter reacts to stuff. How is he built like? And so I would usually say you have in a technical block usually a little bit more volume, but it also depends a little bit on the lifter, as you sometimes have people who just can't focus for long sets that much because they just lose it in the mind. And that's something you can train that, but you have to build it up. I hate having like 6 sets of something. That's ridiculous to me. I just can't do it. I just like to, okay, give me like 3 to 4 heavy sets, kill me there. I will be able to focus on that. But if you give me like 6 sets, I'm dying. But then you have other people who easily work through that.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen girls, very light girls, doing like 10 sets of stuff, 10 sets of heavy deadlifts. And they were able to do it. For some people, it's possible to do so. So that it depends a little bit on the lifter. But in the general, I would always say less intensity, not too less. So maybe sticking around, I don't know, 85%, which is actually, let it be a 7.5 on the RPE scale. To let people really work on the technique and not having a breakdown. And also there's a very important part right here. When you look into that, when you give an athlete an RPE 7 or maybe a reps in reserve 3, it makes them focus more on the technical stuff. Because when you write down an 8, for most people, it is like, there's an 8, I'm going to die today.
I'm going to war.
Take it as a challenge.
Yeah.
7, you don't take a 7 as a challenge. An 8 and plus is always, I'm going to die today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, that's an issue. Actually, usually when you use RPE, an RPE 8 should be something where you don't have any technical breakdowns. Usually at a 10, you shouldn't have a breakdown. When you have a breakdown, that's a 10. But that's the thing people always might to misunderstand there. And I'm guilty of that too. Because that's my inner warrior, you know. I'm coming to battle.
Yeah. Classic. I think that it's also like important to note that assistance work would also probably change in a technique block. So that, like, for example, if you had in a strength block, as you noted, you wouldn't have bench press for dips. You would maybe have some banded dips because the banded dip is much more specific to the competition dip. Would you say, like in a technique block, a tempo dip, normal tempo dip on P bars would make a lot more sense than, for example, a ring dip?
Absolutely. And it could also be a ring dip.
Yeah, sure.
Tempo and something like that. Mm. Or for pull ups, maybe a paused one. Maybe holding the chin over the bar and stuff like that. So that could be the stuff that you actually work on. Or what I'm using right now with an athlete for muscle up work, as an example, I don't let him swing far, very much far forward.
Mm. Yeah.
No, I said less swinging forward as possible. So in the end, starting point could be pull up position. it will never be, because that's a muscle up and you always have that C shape. But that's the thing that I said, that's what we're doing now. And it's actually hard for him, and it's working very, very well. So that's the stuff that you can actually put into a techniques focused block. So doesn't always mean it needs to be easy. It always should be hard, because the body only adapts when it gets hard. But yes, the assistance work needs to switch up into stuff where you actually really profit from in your lift and in your technique. And that could be work where you put in some sticking point work, some slow work. Maybe also some work like when you have a lifter who always has a breakdown in form by really, really coming forward in a squat, and you give him some safety squat work where he really has to stay upright and the upper back has to stay stiff. That could be the right work for that person. It doesn't have to be, but it could be. And you always have to keep that in mind when you have your athlete there. And it's up to you to choose the right thing for the right person. And this is where experience comes in. This, a lot of exercises work for a lot of problems. It could be exactly the same exercise, but you just have a different goal. You could use the safety bar squat for making people a little bit more stiffer in the upper back, and it could also be to give them stronger quads.
Yeah,
could be the same thing with the same exercise, but it's a different focus that you have right there. And that's very important to understand, that you choose your weapons well to tackle the weakness. All right. From there on, I think that the last phase that we need to talk about is the hypertrophy phase.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we all love that, because we all have that hidden bodybuilder within us.
Yeah, and it's the best feeling when you are in a hypertrophy phase, honestly. I don't know if it's the same case with you, but I always feel like I have much more muscle tonus and I feel much more full in comparison to a strength block, where I feel like I'm so weak and I lost all my muscle mass.
Actually, I like hypertrophy phases, but for myself, I actually love the general phases where I mix up the strength with the hypertrophy for myself. Mm-hmm. Personally.
Yeah.
I love to do some heavy stuff and some pumping afterwards. I love that. But for the hypertrophy phases, actually, I think one very, very important part right here, just to bring that up in the beginning, mm-hmm. Low intensity, higher volume, but no junk volume and no low weights. And that's important to say. When you do hypertrophy phases, it doesn't mean weights get very light. And it also doesn't mean you need to do 10,000 exercises with 3,000 sets. I've been there, I've done that. I've written plans for people where they did like, I don't know. I remember one thing when we did the strength coach diploma here in Vienna at Intelligent Strength, which I absolutely recommend to everybody who is really into strength training, actually, if you speak German. I wrote a plan for senior, including, I think she trained for 6 days a week, having 10 to 12 exercises per day with like 3 sets of each.
Oh my God.
That was ridiculous. I think that was the most crazy plan I've ever written. I called it hypertrophy hell. When you look at the pictures, you gotta scroll down on Instagram at my account, and I think also on hers. It was in 2018, so you got to scroll a bit. The results were crazy. I think it would, it has been a little bit too much volume, but at that point for her, it was the best thing that she could have done, because at that point she built up a lot of muscle mass and a lot of willpower, because this has been for like 12 weeks or something like that. And she really went through hell during that time. It was completely crazy doing that. I don't know how she did that, because she still did PRs weekly on her lifts. That was crazy. Usually that doesn't work, but because she was in her mind, okay, it's a challenge now. I'm going into this. I'm going to war. That really switched something up. And that was crazy. So everything can work, but you usually have to watch things like that over time. So today, like 2 years later, she's a little bit more experienced now. She doesn't need that much volume now, because the intensities of her lifts are higher now. And this is something I experienced with a lot of lifters, that the stronger you get, the less volume you need. And the thing with that is, I would say this is also because actually when you're not so experienced, you're not as good as later on in choosing the right intensities, choosing the RPEs right, going to failure when it's needed, and staying away from failure when it's needed. So that's something a lot of people might misunderstand there. Being in a hypertrophy phase doesn't mean you have to be in a muscular, you don't have to have failure all the time. It depends. And that's very important. So when I say bringing up the volume and lower down the intensity, it's not like you don't have intensity and you have a lot of volume. It's somewhere in between. And that's very important to understand there. So the hypertrophy phase would be a little bit more focused on main and assistance, but also an accessory. Because in a hypertrophy phase, you will have a little bit more of the very isolating work. And I know you know that. So how would a hypertrophy day look for you like?
Well, of course, we would have, just as you said, the main lift. So let's say, for example, we have dips and back squats. But instead of having them in lower rep ranges, we would probably have them in a rep range of around 6 to 10 repetitions, for example, somewhere in middle intensities. And then afterwards, we would do maybe some OHP and some Bulgarian split squats, just to kind of have some assistance work. And in the end, more isolation stuff like quad extensions and tricep extensions to get even more volume in. And in that one, in those two, you would probably even go to higher intensities. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it's also possible to go to failure, but that's a topic we can definitely discuss. Should you go to failure or not in a hypertrophy block?
Absolutely. And it depends where and which exercise, which muscle do you affect and all that stuff. But actually, that's a very good episode, but we should talk about next time or in the upcoming weeks now, as that's some stuff. People need that.
It's yeah.
That's the thing. All right. So technical work in a hypertrophy phase, what would you say?
Of course, if needed, but yeah, it's really tough to say yes or no. It always depends.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
If a person is really proficient with their technique, there's no reason to put in technique stuff. Yeah. But if yes, then probably like at the start of the session or integrate them within an exercise, then definitely.
All right. So I think we had all the phases. Now we have to bring in some stuff that's very needed now. how to choose rep ranges for what phase. And I would say for a general or general thing to catch up to this one again, in the technical part, lower reps with less intensities. So like, I don't know, up to 5 reps, something like that. In the main phase, for general, it could be anything. It could be from beginning from 3 reps up to, I don't know, 20. Depends very hard where you at, what are you gonna do? You just earning your reps now and you have to get your first 20 pull-ups and something like that. It could be that you have a set of 20 pull-ups. It could be, you know, and but it could also be that you just have like 5. Depends. Very, very important to understand that. For the assistance work, I would usually start off with 6 reps. I rarely go lower than 6 reps in a certain exercise. Really, really depends on the exercise. I mean, of course, a Turkish get up, you would never do like 5. You always do 1. But that depends on the time and attention that you have right there. So when you do a Turkish get up, that takes a minute from you. And that's usually the length of a longer set that you do certain reps on. But in assistance work, usually I start off with 6. It depends on the athlete, how many reps it could be. And this could also be that you bring in like 30 reps of something. I've actually given like lateral raises. That's the thing. You give like 30 reps of lateral side raises to people, and it works very well because their side delt needs that. And that's, sometimes you need it like that. I've given 4-minute M reps of leg extensions to an athlete. I said, this is your time cap, 4 minutes. And you're going to do as many leg extensions with a certain weight as possible. And it worked very well. He killed himself there. Really got the blood rush in there. Had definitely muscular failure. And he saved up so much time. That was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And it worked very well. So that's the thing for the I would say for the rep ranges in the general stuff. But when it comes to strength, there comes another role in there, because when it comes to strength, you really have to focus on one thing. You have to watch out to don't kill structures when it comes to the assistance work, because the assistance work should help you with the main exercise that you're doing. And that's very important. You don't want to kill the muscle fibers there, but you want to give them the right stimulus to adapt for the next time. So you have to choose the rep ranges wisely. So it could be that for a pushing exercise, it's very important to bring in maybe lower reps, like, I don't know, doing like 6 to 8 reps of an existence size for your heavy dips, as an example. But it could also be that you're going to do like push-ups, 10 to 12 reps, because it works better for you. And that's very important to understand that sometimes it is also very needed, depends on the athlete, that you bring in when they had such a big mechanical stress on the body, they need to bring in some blood rush. And that's very important sometimes to keep the athlete healthy. Some people really need that work. I'm one of these guys when it comes to my hip. I'm not one of these guys when it comes to my upper body. And that's a very individual thing. So that's something you keep in mind. You got to play around with that over the years and see what works best for you. Same thing comes for technique, of course. Of course, this is exactly the same. In hypertrophy, you should check out what works best for hypertrophy at that case. So how does your body react in case of growing to certain rep ranges in certain muscle groups? Because sometimes you have like muscle groups that, as an example, my biceps grows like crazy when it gets just mechanical stress from chin-ups and all that stuff. It completely explodes, but actually my back, my lats love the volume. So different muscle groups, different things that work, and you have to bring that in. I can easily work my lats off in killing myself all the time. I can easily do that. But when it comes to my shoulder girdle and rotator cuff, I die. So I have to choose assistance and accessory work very well there. So using exercise that might not affect those muscle groups that I bring in there also. So as a lat pull down is an amazing exercise to bring in volume for me to kill my lats, but not killing my shoulder girdle. And okay, that's not calisthenics. I'm sorry, but it works better for me. The calisthenics style of that would be doing front lever races. That kills my shoulder girdle. I'm done after that. And it also kills the long head of my triceps. I'm done after that. I just can't. And so exercise selection is very, very individual at that point. And also the rep ranges. For me, something in between 12 to 15 works amazing for the lat pull downs. That's the rep range. It works well. I can really feel it. When it comes to 20 reps of that, I die. It's too much because I go wild in my head. And that's a personal thing. You know, so that's why you need to understand it's everything there. It's very individual. And you gotta track that down for yourself over the years. I'm talking about years. I'm not talking about months or something or weeks or something like that. That's over years. Ooh, there we go. All right. I think we really covered a lot of stuff, huh? Don't we?
Definitely.
All right. So if you have any questions about that, please feel free to contact us on Strength and Skills Podcast on Instagram. Contact us maybe personally if you have any questions to Rado. Rado, how do we call you on Instagram?
Rado underscore Bosits.
Perfect. Or you just contact me, Nick underscore Tibu. And then we're going to talk about it. If you need any help with that stuff, bringing up your strength and all that stuff, feel free to contact us for a coaching slot on bar underscore bell underscore coaching and Instagram or our personal Instagram accounts. Let's go. I want you to get strong and beastie. Let's get it on. Have another great week of training. Goodbye.